Hello, fellow educators, and welcome to episode 61. I'm your host, Becky Lewis. Today, my co-host Samantha Statler and I are going to be talking about one of the most important tasks that we have as educators, which is family engagement. We're going to share strategies and information around how you can strengthen your relationships with your students' families. Welcome to the Leaders of Literacy podcast, where we engage in educational conversations to strengthen early literacy in West Virginia. Are you ready to become a leader of literacy?
Welcome back, listeners. Becky and I are excited to be plugged in with you today to discuss a very important topic when it comes to being an educator, and that is family engagement.
Yes, Sam, and I couldn't agree more. And not only is this topic crucial for educators, but it's also something that we focus on with the West Virginia Campaign for Grade Level Reading. So listeners, now that you've had some time to get to know your students and create classroom norms and all those other beginning of the year things, we want to focus a little more on engaging and involving your students' first teacher, their families.
You know, when I first started teaching, I remember that this was an area that I didn't fully understand, and I don't really remember being taught any of these things in my undergraduate experience, but I did communicate with my families regularly, and I held, parent-teacher conferences with them to talk about their child's progress, but now I really know more about it, and I realize that family engagement reaches well beyond just those two examples, and according to the National Association for Family, School, and Community Engagement, family engagement is defined as a shared responsibility in which schools and other community agencies and organizations are committed to reaching out to engage families in meaningful ways and in which families are committed to actively supporting their children's learning and development. So something I've always kept with me is that we're doing it with families, not for families.
I love that, Sam. And we know that engaging families is something that is not isolated to teachers or schools. Engaging families in their child's development and learning can and should really involve many other entities, like you mentioned. But for educators especially, developing these positive partnerships with students' families is truly one of the most important tasks that we have as educators. And Sam, like you said, sometimes this topic can be a little scary or challenging. It's something, like you mentioned, that there's not a lot of coursework on or any coursework in college on. But it's our hope that this episode will make that a little less scary and less challenging so that our listeners can build and develop these relationships with their families. Also, with the support of the West Virginia Department of Education, we understand that a family's engagement in their child's education is key to improving outcomes for their child.
You're right, Becky. And when it comes to the West Virginia Department of Education's connection to family, school, and community engagement, they actually have a set of core beliefs that I would like to share with our listeners. So I'm going to read through these five beliefs. The first one is all families have dreams for their children and want to see them succeed. The second one is all families have the capacity to support their children's learning. The third one, when families are equipped with accurate, relevant, and timely information, they are properly positioned to partner to support their children's learning. The fourth one, families and school staff should be equal partners with support from the community. And the last one is the responsibility for building positive, productive relationships between school and home rests primarily with the school staff, especially school and county leaders.
Thanks for sharing those with us, Sam. And I think they're just important to keep at the forefront of our mind because sometimes in the hustle and bustle of the year, we kind of forget and lose our focus on those. So to help our listeners, I want to let you know that we will be having the West Virginia Department of Education's Family and Community Engagement page linked in our resources. I really encourage you to check out some of those resources that they have, along with some other information about county family educator resources that are available throughout the state. I would also really recommend checking out episode 31 of our podcast. It features an interview with an instructional leader from McDowell County, And in this episode, Amanda discusses some unique approaches that her county has implemented to make deeper connections with those families and go back to those core beliefs set by the West Virginia Department of Education. So moving forward with our episode, another resource that we have used to drive our conversation today is an article from the National Association for Education of Young Children titled Five R's for Promoting Positive Family Engagement. And this article walks us through those five R's, and they are respect, reassurance, responsiveness, relationships, and reciprocity. So Sam, I would really appreciate if you would help us start off with our conversation talking about the five R's.
Yes, absolutely. So that first R is respect. And our students' family members, they want to feel respected as their child's first and most important teacher in their lives. And families also want to know that their family values, their culture, and their home experiences are also respected. And another part of this piece is to really, you need to be aware of your own biases, your ideas, and your beliefs. And these are things that you cannot let interfere with your work to understand each of your students' families and their choices and circumstances.
Absolutely. It is so important for educators to recognize, appreciate, and even celebrate what their students and families bring to the schools. Families aren't a separate part of a school community. They really should be viewed as contributors and participants. And this reminds me, Sam, of our last episode with Claire McCoy. She shared with us some tips and strategies for building strong sense of community and culture in the classroom that I really feel is applicable to our conversation today, because one of the strategies she mentioned was sending home a survey to families so that they could share information about their family's home life, their culture, their traditions, and even the caregiver's expertise, so that educators can use those surveys throughout the school year as a resource and pull in those families and caregivers as often as possible.
Yeah, and a few other strategies that you can use to help develop this respect for your students' families is to just listen to them. And this truly confirms for families that their thoughts and their suggestions are valued and that you two are working together as a team to make decisions for their child. You both want the best for the student and child, and making sure you have that constant open communication with families can really help to build that respect. I know technology has made this a little easier with some different apps like Seesaw or ClassDojo, and this is a great place that you could post classroom news, maybe weekly newsletters, photos of students working, and any other relevant information that you think your families would enjoy. When I was a classroom teacher, I would send home a weekly fridge fax that had the content we were learning that week along with any other important announcements. And I also emailed a digital version to families that I had email addresses for. My school then also used ClassDojo, and it was a great quick way to get messages to families. I also made a lot of calls home, and no, not just negative ones. I always made a point to call families throughout the year to just brag on their child, and they really were so appreciative of those phone calls.
Yeah, those phone calls are kind of the best when you're sending home good news, because families automatically think that if a school or a teacher is calling, it's often for a negative reason. So I also implemented that. And talking about apps, my former school also used ClassDojo to communicate with families, but we were in a very rural community with very limited cell service and internet service at the time. So many families didn't have access to Dojo. So I used the app Remind to communicate with families. And with this app, what I was able to do was send a text message from my computer or my cell phone to their cell phones so that when they went to work or got into an area where there was cell phone service, they got my text message. So for some of our families, it was just a much better way for me to stay connected with them. All right, shifting gears, moving on to our next R from this article. There's actually two R's, words that are connected with one another, and they're reassurance and responsiveness. So your students' families need to really be reassured that you not only care about their student as an individual, but you're also going to meet them where they are in terms of learning. Families want to be reassured that you will make decisions for their child that are going to keep them safe and engage them in their learning.
Right. And our families also want to feel that you are responsive and that they can trust you to address any questions or concerns that might come up for them during the year. Flexibility and responsiveness really go hand in hand as an educator. And educators who are flexible in their understanding, their expectations, and their responses to the families, that will really serve better to build trust.
I love that. And I just want to share a strategy with our audience. So one of the things that you can do to help foster that reassurance with your families is just to take lots of pictures and videos of students in the process of learning. Of course, be aware, you're going to have some students that have permission or don't have permission for photographs to be taken. So you need to ensure that you're following those. But families do want to know what their child is learning during the day and what they're doing and who they're playing with and what activities they seem to be engaged in the most. So you can either do this daily or weekly, depending on the time that you have. And then another small strategy that you can implement is to just provide a daily or a midweek talking points to families. These are kind of different from that weekly update in that they're really short and sweet and to the point, and parents can have things to talk with their students about.
Yeah, and just to add to that, Becky, my daughter's teacher did a really great job of this last year. She used Seesaw, which I found to be user-friendly on the parents' family end. But she would post pictures of Honey throughout the day, different activities she was doing, and even just her happy and like having fun on the playground. And it was such a reassuring feeling just to see the smile on my daughter's face and just knowing that she was having a good day at school. And this kind of leads me to that third R, which is families want a relationship. It truly is the parents and the guardians of a child who are the experts and who also play a critical role in their child's growth and learning. When families feel like they have a relationship with their child's teacher, they are more willing to interact with the teacher and volunteer when needed.
Absolutely. And I've seen this a lot in my own classroom. The stronger my relationship was with families, the stronger those volunteer and interactions were with them. So one simple strategy that you could use to build these types of relationships with families is just by greeting them and saying hello. Maybe you see them in the office or after school at a sporting event or even at the grocery store. And just taking a few seconds to say hello. I mean, it's a very short and simple thing to do, yet it helps to initiate those conversations and it leads to more positive relationships because families see you engaging with them and caring about them.
Yes. And another strategy that comes to mind is to help strengthen your relationship with your families is just by inviting them into your classroom. Some families don't know how they can be involved and to what capacity. Maybe you could invite some family members to come in and do some read alouds with the students that week. Maybe you need some people to come in and chaperone a field trip too. So there are definitely several ways that you can get your families involved.
I think those are some very great ideas. But I know that many of the families that of our students in our classrooms work during the day and they don't have much time to volunteer. And I wasn't sure how to go about this when I was in the classroom. And I know this is the same for many teachers out there. But when I think back, I do remember how one teacher in my building offered this opportunity for families to volunteer. And that was by simply prepping materials that teacher would need for big projects that were coming up. So she would send things home that needed sorted or cut apart or organized. And at the beginning of the year, she asked families who would be interested in doing these tasks either in the evenings or on the weekend when they had free time. And so what she would do is send those items home with the child in their book bags. All the supplies and everything they would need with directions and a deadline and when she would need them back. And the surprising thing was that she never had any issues getting material back because, again, these families were really looking for a way to support their child and the classroom. And I know that can be kind of scary for teachers to think, oh, no, I'm sending this important stuff home. But if it's families who have stepped up to want to volunteer, they're going to be sending those materials back to you.
Yeah. And that really is such a great idea, Becky. I've never worked with anyone that's done that. And like you said, this is challenging for all teachers who have families that work during the day and still want to be involved. So that was a really creative way for that teacher to still involve her families.
Yes. And so now we're moving on to the fourth R of our article, which is reciprocity. In this scenario, reciprocity means that the teacher and the parent or guardian have to depend on one another to accomplish something. And this type of coordination really requires a lot of flexibility with our approaches and expectations. So just to give you an example of a strategy that you could use for practicing reciprocity is just to involve your families by talking and including them in decision making. Allowing them to be in the know of the goals and expectations that you have for their child and that they have for their child is really important, helps build that teacher-student relationship, and also strengthens the student's relationship with the schools. So if you're simply telling a parent or guardian about their child, this is an example of kind of a one-way communication. And what we really want to do is open that communication so it's truly a two-way form of communications where families have opportunities to collaborate with you and to be able to share openly their own concerns and wants and goals for their students.
Yes, and I think by including families in this decision-making can really help to strengthen your relationships with them. And like you said, we really want it to be a two-way form of communication where both parties are feeling valued and feeling heard.
So that brings to mind just another strategy that you could use to practice reciprocity, and that's to be considerate of the culture and language and literacy when you're communicating with families. And that takes me back to that beginning of the year survey. When you know information about families, you can really respect it and value it. You really want to make sure that you are communicating and making accommodations when needed so that families can access and be able to respond to the information that you're sharing. So one thing is being really mindful of families' home languages and translate documents if needed.
And I really like the focus of that reciprocity piece because, again, families should be a part of the decision making and those conversations that take place about their children. We are now on the fifth and final R, which is reflection. Families want teachers who reflect, and not only to reflect on where they stand with their families, but also on their instructional practices too. And this reflection helps teachers engage children and families intentionally instead of falling into some habits. And one simple way to work on reflection is just by checking in with yourself. Here are some questions that you can use to do this. How well do I know each of my students and their families? How can I learn more about them? How often do I interact with each family? And how am I making my families feel important and part of the learning community?
And Sam, I really appreciate that the article included those questions because I think sometimes we need that explicit guidance on how we can become better at reflection, either personally or professionally. So I love that this is all geared towards that family engagement piece. The article also mentions another strategy that you can use, which is to ask your student's family member some questions. So here are just some questions that you could pose to them. How would you like to be involved in the classroom? Is there a book that you would like to read to the class? Is there a cultural tradition that you would like to share with the class? What do you think your child needs to have the most enjoyable educational experience in the classroom?
And I love that the questions were provided too. And sometimes it's just helpful to have some of those examples. So if you are looking to improve your reflection, I suggest maybe referring back to this and using some of those questions. The last strategy you could use to improve your reflection is to just ask your colleagues how they engage with their families. How do they get to know their families and make them feel part of their learning community?
And I like that piece because our colleagues have very different ways about approaching family engagement, especially our veteran teachers. They often have some ways that they have tried and found very successful for them over the years. So I think that's really important for talking amongst ourselves in the education world. So we are going to begin concluding this episode, Sam. And I just wanted to take a minute to ask if you had one tip or piece of advice focused on this family engagement piece.
One last thing that I would tell educators to do to help strengthen their family engagement is to just share resources with them that they can use at home. And a strategy you could use to share these resources is to include them in your weekly newsletter or your monthly newsletter, how often you send it home. Let them know about some free community events or different educational websites, local library events, and, you know, even provide them a list of support services and organizations. I think families would be really appreciative of those resources.
For links to all the resources discussed in today's episode and for additional information, please visit our website at marshall.edu/ELTAC/podcast. Want to learn more about being a leader of literacy? Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single installment. In the next episode, my co-host Samantha Statler and I have the pleasure of sitting down with West Virginia's Teacher of the Year for 2023, Amber Nichols. You won't want to miss it. Thanks for listening.